is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to talk about how to beat the holiday blues with your kids, for you too. You know, many people say that the holidays are very difficult, and those articles often are talking about our inflated expectations. But you know, there are a lot of just common health measures that we seem to forget around the holiday time. I was reading a magazine that I take that is aimed at more affluent elderly people who are very interested in extending their lives. Each article is a summary of some research, and it has a long bibliography and, of course, something to buy. And I have been seeing this magazine for years myself, and this particular issue was touting the fact that this magazine has been published since the 80s. They touted the benefit of various supplements for retaining cognitive power and longevity, long life for older people, and how they had been resisted or still being resisted, and how the medical industry is now catching up with some of the things they were saying in the 80s. And it has seemed to me for a long time, if we understand that these food substances could be reduced, capsulized, and given to older people who could then retain their mental powers, then why is it that I never hear about these same food substances being given to children who are having problems with their brains, or with young people or whoever who have had accidents like brain trauma? And some of this research clearly relates to this. And I don't hear about that. I don't hear about that even from the medical profession, although I do hope that there are some who specialize in that and who are now talking about it. But it seems to me that just as this information is widely available to more affluent, more educated older adults, that it should be available to younger mothers. Well, that's what I do. So the people who run this magazine sell supplements. Everybody has to make a living. And I don't discredit them at all. I think that's a great service. And why that, it seems to me, more readily available than for physicians who charge, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars for 7 minutes, who may or may not have this kind of expertise. But and maybe there are a few specialists who help children, but I think that this information needs to be more widely available. And so we'll talk some about that, but that is what I was thinking about as I planned this episode. So we're going to go over a few of these things and hope that it will be helpful. And then I also think that we compartmentalize too much, that over here is the science and over here is the spirituality, when in fact the cutting edge of science knows that there is an overlap. I listened to a podcast or two that is aimed at millionaire entrepreneurs, men who are in their 30s and 40s, and they talk about biohacking. And that's exactly what they're doing, is sharing the cutting edge research. And some of these guys are willing to do kind of dangerous experiments on themselves, but they'll tell us about it. And so they're making information readily available. And I'm the only one. And we'll talk about the, you know, my quote unquote competitors who are patting your hands and telling you, oh, there, your children have to be like this. Or who, even worse, tell you to be angry and to fight, and because that'll never help. I've done that for a lifetime or two. And then you get off into being resentful and angry and offended, and you never help your child. So you hope that maybe you will help the general welfare, but probably not, because that kind of spirit causes the resistance. And so the professionals who already have a fortress mentality just bow up, and it gets worse and worse rather than better and better. So here we have practical health measures. All right. And which end to take it? Let's take it from the spiritual end. There's sickness going around. And I think there is no greater harm to children than adults who are permitted into the home who are criminals. Okay? So if you have a home, you need to filter who gets to come into your home and who gets to have access to your children. And if they are serpents, do not let them in your home, and certainly do not let them be with your children privately. Not ever. If they are goats, just let it go. And you be a dove. It is time in the holidays, when you are spending a day with your family, just to be nice. You know, you don't have to say those hurtful things. You just don't have to. And it has just amazed me over the years, as I have been at weddings and family, I just don't know why people can't just bottle it and be nice. Just do the right thing. Don't be drunk. You know, you can own your political opinion without being offensive. And sometimes grown children have to simply be entertaining for the old people. And I know so many people who are terribly offended when people don't respect their viewpoints or their, but they can't spend an hour or two without doing that very same behavior to someone else, right? So family members often have different values. Okay. So one person values this and a, okay, can you not just be nice for 2 or 3 hours to get through Christmas dinner? Do you have to really put it in somebody's face and act ugly? And you know, there are different ways of doing that. Some are just out and out beyond the pale rude, and other people are haughty and polite with the kind of intonation and intimation that is hurtful. Just let it go. That's about them. If they're acting badly, it's because it's something about them, right? So if they are goats, let it go. Just don't recognize it. You just act right. But if they're serpents, if they are going to harm your children, do not let them in your house. It is your job to take care of your children. And you be the dove, okay? Now, there's also sickness going around in terms of germs. This seems to really happen. People have different folk stories about it, but it does seem to happen in the fall and toward the holidays. And we have had Dr. Ensign, I've played that episode. He talked about, you know what you should do about that? You should wash your hands. Washing your hands. Now, using sanitizer might be better than nothing, but washing your hands is the most effective preventative measure. Washing with water and soap. And it's more important when you are shaking more hands. Many people don't wash their hands even after they go to the bathroom. And in our advanced society, more and more people are not washing their hands. And even some people who are terribly germophobes are not doing the right things in the bathroom. They're afraid of touching the handles or the, and shame on you if you have a public restroom and you're not cleaning it. So, and I'm seeing all of these things, I think, maybe are deteriorating over time. Do you know, there was a time when Europeans didn't know about washing hands. and Americans, and there were a whole group of upper class women who became activists and were trying to teach washing of hands. For so many millennia, that meant having to go and get water, put it in a pitcher, and pour it over your hands, as you know, in a basin. And we have running water, so really there's no excuse. We need to wash our hands. We need to eat well and not just fill up on only treats. We need to sleep well, and all these electric lights don't help us. And there are measures, if we recognize that the germs are going around or are attacking us, there are a number of measures, number of things to buy. Oscosilicoxinum is something very popular. If you take it right off the bat, you may not get your virus. And Life Extension magazine has a whole protocol of over-the-counter supplements, but based on garlic, but it's much more than that. And I have the link on my website. If you go to www.greatshalom.org, go to the tab GSB4G, that's for the grandparent generation, scroll down, and you can click through to their original article with a bibliography or to an audio file, so you can just hear me talk about it. But you can buy things at the drugstore, put them in a shoebox or whatever, and keep them for when you feel like the flu is coming on, and they say it is the atom bomb for the flu. And you know, I noticed that food poisoning is often a virus too, and so if you can keep things down, some of these things, same things may work. I'm not going to try to sort out what's what, but just give you the referral to check that out yourself. I can't tell you what's food poisoning and what's a flu, but it seems to be all virus. So do take appropriate health measures. And there's no point in putting this off to a doctor's, because doctors don't know about flu, and they can give you a shot, but at the very best, even if there weren't downsides and questions about the safety, even at the very best, what the flu vaccine is the CDC decides what is the most likely virus, and they can put that maybe one or two, three more, and so it is at best a crapshoot. And of course, you know that real scientists have some questions about the health and safety of it, so particularly for young children. So please, even when you do have good allopathic strong measures, it's just not sensible to wait for that without doing the preventative Dr. Mom level things. Yes? Any sensible person would agree. Okay, the lights really are an issue. We've talked about that. Have some drapes so that you have a bedroom that is dark. Don't be taking your phone to bed. Put some modifications on all your screens so that they're warmer, and you can get some red light. I've bought some red light bulbs for my bathroom. That's a lot of technical stuff. Dave Asprey can talk to you about the Juve, and if you've got that kind of money, wonderful. I didn't, so I bought a grow light because that's 660 hertz, and then I brought a near infrared. We're talking about light bulbs, so you understand a fraction of the cost. Anyway, you can go and do that yourself, but you know what you could do, and what would be even better is go outside. Take your children outside. That's why daycare licensing reps make certain that preschools take their children outside every day, even if it's raining, even if it's cold. And you know, in the winter in Wyoming, the children are going outside every day, and I kind of wondered why. Now I know, because the light is important. And I was reading that article, that edition, and one of the articles was vitamin D in the sunlight is shown to have cognitive improvement benefits. So go outside, take your kids outside to play. And if you if, you know, if grandparents need to go to the mall to walk, great, but it would be much better to walk in the park. And so may that tribe increase, and may there be initiative at the municipal level to have safe parks. Get outside. You can do it. Maybe going cross-country skiing or snowshoeing would be the great family tradition. Okay, since I mentioned Dave Asprey, I have been reading him and listening to him, and of course he is the purveyor of bulletproof coffee, which is kind of interesting. So let me say that there are some benefits to drinking tea and coffee. There is a lot of research about green tea and its cognitive benefits. Black tea has some, and coffee has some, and coffee also has some mood-boosting benefits. However, drinking more than 5 cups a day makes a person tense. And Dave Asprey is particularly sensitive to mold, and so his coffee, although not advertised to be organic, is mold-free. Well, of course, there's not a whole lot of mold in roasted and brewed coffee, but if you are susceptible to that, then you will want to know about that. But, you know, we have for a long time kept these substances away from our children, and I think maybe at least our teenagers maybe might do well, even the children, to have herb tea and Pico tea. We might consider that, but I have heard anecdotally of some young men being able to get off their control substances like Ritalin because they started going to the gym and they started drinking coffee, and I hope they also started running outside. Okay, so I would also say enjoy the season. Don't worry so much about putting down the pagan practices as inculcating the Christian practices and the practices that inspire you and your family. Another thing that I have read lately is David McIlvaney's The Intentional Legacy, and I want to talk to you about that. But you understand the basic idea of make good memories for the holidays. Do something fun with your kids and inspiring. And I think singing is the best. We should sing together. And we should plan gifts together and wrap presents together and decorate it together. And it should be a fun time together. And if you're the parent, you should manage that. And I know that it is difficult. Sometimes we have differing levels of disposable income, and if we get into comparison, we will never be happy. Do not let someone's one-upmanship or someone's lack of consideration knock you out of a jolly spirit. Just do what you can, and I hope that your children will enjoy it. You know, I remember some famous person was talking about, oh, when they were poor and their kids were small, they had to just draw a tree on some butcher paper and hang that up on the wall because they didn't have money to buy a Christmas tree. And if this was done right, and if the hearts of the children and the hearts of the parents are knitted properly together, you know, I think that the children will remember that fondly. And I remember somebody else talking about they were camping in their living room, and they had so much fun that they didn't realize until they were adults the reason they were in a tent in their living room is because the heat had been turned off. But they had had a fun time. And so go thou and do likewise. Have a great time this Christmas. Enjoy the lights of Christmas in the mall, and don't worry about the commercialism. Enjoy that your neighbor puts up a Christmas tree, even if he is an atheist, because it is, after all, a Christmas tree. And if you want to do something better, then by all means do it. Learn all those old Christmas hymns and sing them together. And if you can manage to do something altruistic, then great. There are a number of ministries, Samaritan's Purse and Oxfam or whatever, that will allow you to give a gift. Well, Christ for India, that I've had on my program, they do that also. You can give a gift that will be a charity gift. So you can buy a cow for a poor family or make a donation so that they can run their bus to pick up children at their orphanage school. So, or maybe you can work at the local soup kitchen for a day with your children. If you can find a way to be giving, or maybe what you can do is bake cookies and give it to the old lady down the street. Find a way to celebrate Christmas, because that is a way of doing something that is wise altruism. Because this is what we celebrate at Christmas, is wise altruism. The God of the universe came down into our world to be not only a human, but to start out as a baby for us and for our salvation. Jesus Christ walked with us, lived with us, taught us, suffered with us, was dead and buried, and came back to teach us and will come again. And he is a God who is touched with our infirmities. And Holy Spirit, in the most self-effacing way, teaches us, glorifies the Lord, and teaches us and leads us into all truth. So in this Christmas season, let us think about the center of Christianity. And this is the wise altruism that the Father has offered to us. And as we grow up into being children of God and sons of God, let us also practice wise altruism. And let us leave a lasting legacy in our children by the joy that we share, by the wisdom that we share, and by the heart that we give. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for all that you've taught us in your word. And thank you for these holidays where we still remember, even in a dark world, even in an often hostile world, we still remember your gift of the Savior in a manger, in a stable meant for the Passover lamb. You gave us freedom from the slavery of sin. And would we would receive that for ourselves, and we would pray that for our family, and most especially, we would pray that for our children. We would ask that they not stray far from the fold, but that they are protected by their angels, and that they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And that more than that, they reflect the wise altruism of the Lord in all their life. That they are saved, not just justified, but also sanctified and glorified. That they are saved to the uttermost. And I pray for my listeners that they may have a safe, healthy, wise, joyful, loving holiday Christmas. And may this joy, peace, and love, may that increase for them, for their neighbors, for their family, and most especially for their children. And we thank you for it. And we pray in the mighty, matchless, most wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, for walking with us through this year. It is the 10th year of our broadcasting. Please share this with your neighbors. You can share it in many ways. Tell them about it, or push the Facebook button on the website. You know all of the ways. The website, by the way, is www.greatshalom.org. Great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M.org. Shalom being a Hebrew word meaning total well-being. Because our foundational scripture is Isaiah 41 and 13. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. And that's a wonderful gift. Let that be Jesus' Christmas gift to you. Isaiah 54 and 13. Now, we would accept gifts to help the broadcast stay on the air, but we are not a 501c3 organization any longer. If you wish to correspond with me via land mail, it's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. We do have a number of books, most of which are on www.lulu.com. Lulu.com. Most of our books, turnkey Bible studies for women, like Leaving a Legacy in Your Children and How to Contend for Your Children, How to Pray for Your Children, and a number of other books. We have some on Amazon as well. And we thank you, we bless you, and this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.